Hi, this is Damon Pastolka, host of The Faces of Business, where I talk with interesting people sharing life and business experiences to entertain, engage, build community, and provide information to help others succeed. If you're interested in learning more about one of our guests or how we are helping business owners generate wealth and build businesses they can sell or succeed at Exit Your Way, you can find more information on our website, exityourway.com. Or by contacting me directly, Damon@exityourway.com. I hope you enjoy the show. All right, everyone. Welcome once again to the Faces of Business. I am your host, Damon Pastolka, and I am excited for our guest today because we have none other than Chad T. Jenkins from SeedSpark here today talking about proven methods to create exponential growth. Chad, thanks for being here today.
Damon, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk today. I mean, we'll talk about your book that came out recently, just added a zero. Sure. Talk about that. We're going to talk about some of the things that you do helping business owners and business teams learn how to add a zero to the revenue. I mean, I want to say that add a zero to revenue a few times because when you think about what that is, I was thinking about before we came on. I mean, that's a lot when you do that. So, Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, well, we always like to start out, Chad, by having you kind of explain to us how you got into this and what really, you know, was the beginnings and how you got into SeedSpark and helping people do this.
Sure. Looking way, way back and being aware that most people's drive is driven from fear or greed. Mine was a little bit of both. I realized what my father made within a rough order of magnitude annually, and it scared the bejesus out of me. I did the reverse math to understand what that was by the month, by the week, by the day, by the hour, and even by the minute. And it was a number that frightened me. The first thing I did was add a zero to it because I'm a little bit ambitious. So it started way back when. I began to have to look at things growing up on a farm in a little bit of an unconventional light to see how I could combine them to create more value than what they were already known to do and then turn that into a business. So starting back at 8 years old, I began to do that a little bit out of fear and also, of course, a little bit out of greed. I wanted to be better and bigger. And I've continued doing it in many different industries up until right now. And I continue to do it today. It's proven and served me very well.
Awesome. Awesome. So as you're moving along, you know, you're talking to people about creating this very rapid growth. What are some of the things that you've learned? Because not many people, I'm not going to say everyone, that's a hard statement. Many people are going to listen to what you say. And so sure, that's for somebody else. So what are some of the apprehensions that you hear in these first conversations with people?
I love the one that you hear so often is we can't do it now because, or there's no way that would ever work because, and they fill in the afterwards of because, and I would strongly encourage them to look at it just a little small different light and say, yes, we could add a zero to our revenue in your example earlier. The very first thing their mind is going to do is tell them all the reasons that they can't. And I would encourage them to use the word unless. Because whenever you frame it and you apply unless to whatever you're trying to accomplish, naturally your brain says, no, obstacle, obstacle, obstacle. Well, turning those into actually the way, embracing those obstacles by utilizing unless when you're framing the argument to yourself, it is empowering. So we hear them all the time. And over the years, I've definitely tried to apply that methodology and making my solution have to be bigger than my objective. So you mentioned just add a zero earlier, certainly the title of the book. And it's something that I've used over and over, and I still do it today. If we want to go to 10, what would happen if we would have to go to 100? And the first thing your brain's going to tell you all the reasons that that would work, and I would strongly encourage, why don't you just apply unless to that? And then really start unpacking those things that would have to be true to make your overall objective become a reality, it is the building blocks, or one would say the path to making that become a reality.
Yeah, that's right. That is the way you do it, because your mind is going to say no right away, because we all, our minds try to protect us, but they are not helping us, not necessarily helping us. So what are some of the things as you see people starting to do this, what are some of the realizations that they begin to make?
So one of them, and this is another strategy that I apply on a daily basis, and I've coined it remove the film. So film stands for friction, identification, leverage the market. So oftentimes in the organizations I'm engaged with, and I shared that I tend to look at their resources in just a little different light, I'm also looking at their frictions. It is very easy to pick up on those because they're going to share them with you. Typically within the first 10 to 30 seconds of a conversation, they begin to give you the fuel or the capabilities to create immense value with what they have existing in their own business, and potentially even a breakout or an opportunity to break through into a different segment of their industry or a service offering back to their industry that begins to really create competitive advantage for them. So I see that being realized over and over and over. The unless that I mentioned earlier is looking at things in a little different light and then seeking out the friction. Whenever you find that friction, again, real easy to understand because you can hear folks throughout the organization complain about the things. I ask a couple questions to validate how big of an opportunity is this? The first question that oftentimes, if I were to spend my time resolving this friction, is it going to resolve and only help the business that I'm working with? Or the second question is, would it help all the businesses that are in that industry in a local market? And then the last question, how about all the businesses that are in that industry in the national market or the international market? Those particular yeses, and they stack on top of each other, they begin to light a fire inside of me that makes me want to not only solve that, but then also understand the commercialization of the solve. Because oftentimes, if you solve it, the folks in your industry are experiencing the same thing, and you have some built-in relationships that wouldn't take very much to make those guys clients.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very cool and interesting. The friction, take the friction and turn it into an industry advantage. That's very cool.
Yeah, there's a little saying that I have that I only ever want to be in an industry long enough to figure out the how. Then I want to turn around and sell the how to the who's. This friction identification leverage the market is the building block to enable that to become a reality as well.
So say that one more time. You don't want to be in an industry long enough to learn the how.
Yes, sir. My passion is figuring out a way better way, not just a better way. Yeah. I've oftentimes challenged myself as I really am intrigued about a business model to the extent that I can understand the how. Then beyond that, I'm more interested in turning around and selling the how to the who's that are in the industry. You'll find that it pays a lot better. You're not beholden to the confines of the normal margins of that industry. And for the time that you're in that industry, being a good contemporary, you've made relationships, gone to conferences, you likely have some built-in relationships that could become your first client.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. In the industry line, learn the how.
Turn around and sell the how to the who's. Yes, sir.
Sell the how to the who's. Well, we got Aisha here. Thanks for being here today. And if you're listening today, drop a comment. Let us know where you're coming in from. And if you got questions for Chad, let us know that as well. So as you're moving around, wow, this is great. Friction. So yes, give us an example of this kind of friction that you've uncovered in an industry before, if you can. That would be something so we can relate what that would mean.
Yeah, sure. So long ago, I happened to be in the wireless business out of an agriculture store, like a Tractor Supply that I grew as a very young and early age. The gentleman came along and wanted to sell me this particular wireless device. They were very helpful. You could press a button and instantly talk to somebody on the other end and dictate the outcome. So I definitely aligned with the speed of impact there. And I ended up buying them for the business I was in. But I inquired with him. I said, not only can I understand the impact of the business that I'm in, but I'm pretty sure this would impact a lot of businesses. I was maybe 20, 21 at that time. And I did start that business. Basically on this clear fundamental of make it easy for people to do business with you. One particular friction in that industry was those phone types. The mobile communication device was used in the construction industry prolifically. Mm-hmm. So I simply set up the entire city like an ice cream truck route and had guys and gals go around to all the production builder neighborhoods where every brick mason, landscaper, drywall guy, backfill and grading contractor, name it, they were all there, including mm-hmm. the production home building guys were also in the neighborhood. So it's basically like bringing the store to you. That was one friction that I was able to leverage that particular market and grow exponentially. Along the way, because it is my wiring, I seek out friction and try to harness it. One commonality that I was able to realize was everyone's invoicing was messed up. Their bill was just growing. People were using these things more and more. There was metered connections on your text message and even some of the minutes to be able to use the communication device. So it's really hard to keep up with if you had a few phones. If you had a couple thousand phones, it was virtually impossible. And that was common no matter what size organization that I was serving, it was all the same. So you begin to unpack and look at the facts as well. So what are some facts in that industry? Well, I took a look at all of my people have to understand the rate plans. They do change these rate plans to garner new and attract new users every month. Mm-hmm. And since I have to know this, if you apply just a little bit of Excel and trending analysis and forecasting and just play matchmaker, rate plan to usage, that particular service offering that people thought I was crazy. At the very beginning, I would charge $20 to right size your plan to your usage habits, saved you a lot of money. But I thirst for recurring. That's probably the best mm-hmm. way to put it. I seek out recurring based businesses. I've even changed quite a few project based business into recurring because of the impact enterprise value. So at that particular one, it took me all of about 2 or 3 months to do it for a fee. And I changed it into a recurring service model. That is ultimately what got me into software because I was growing that thing way too fast. I couldn't hire people and train them how to have mm-hmm. a great conversation with customer service and also how to spot trending and forecasting patterns. And that ultimately got me into software. But that little change your phone plan for $5 per month ended up being a $20 million recurring business in a matter of just a couple of years.
Wow.
Foundationally, remove the film. Friction identification, leverage the market. I continued to get yeses in every question that I asked. And just looking at the resources that I had at my fingertips and combining them a different way created an entire service offering that greatly impacted my competitive advantage. Who would you like to buy all your phones from? The guy who's going to watch your bill or the local store down on the corner that is happy when you come by, but they're not mm-hmm. reaching out to serve you. So that was kind of a game changer in an industry some time ago.
Yeah. That's a great example too, because, you know, everybody had the phones, everybody had the plans, but no one had connected the fact that they were spending a lot of extra money because they weren't watching usage or whatever it was at that time and number of phones and all the other things. And that service probably saved them multiples and multiples of that
cost. Or millions upon millions of dollars. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool example. So when you talk about growing businesses fast like this, now there's going to be a lot of people that listen and say, well, I'm not that kind of business. I'm a manufacturing mm-hmm. business. I'm a construction business. I'm whatever. What do you have to say about somebody that's coming from that angle?
Yeah. For growth for me, a lot of it's a math problem. The just add a zero concept, and you could take your revenue and certainly do that and say, there'd be no way I could ever do that unless, no matter what the business type is, there is a way. In every industry that exists on the earth today, there is one guy or one gal who's crushing it in the industry. And yes, we all hear this, oh, the market's doing this, the market's doing that. I hear you, but I come from not a whole lot of education, but just some very simple principles. Until I have 100% of the market, I am concerned about what the market is doing, but there's still room for growth for me. It's between what is happening I'm sorry, between what is happening between my ears that is actually limiting me or holding me back, no matter the type of industry. So if you have 100% and yes, it's dropping by 20% a year, sold, I believe you. But until you have 100% and there's opportunities for you to gain market share, or potentially, as I mentioned earlier, take all those resources that you have in that manufacturing business and really look at them at their authentic expression. Like, what's it real? What do you really have? Not what it says on the outside of the label, not what everyone else calls it in your industry, but what is this? What is the capabilities of this person, place, or thing that you have in your business? And I'd encourage you to look at those and try to recombine them from a standpoint of serving whoever it is that is your hero target, who you want your business to be a hero to. What you will likely find is with small modifications, you can begin tomorrow creating competitive advantage and removing the shackles of the conventional margins in your business. So I certainly hear what you're saying, and I would just encourage you to look just a little bit deeper and peel that onion back a little bit more. There's a lot more value in most people's businesses than meets the eye.
Yes. Yes. I've experienced that too. In both myself previously in manufacturing, where you would think that, you know, how are we going to grow? We're already running this hard, this fast, all that kind of stuff. And then someone says, well, if you embrace a 24/7 schedule and set it up right and do those kind of things. And I've taken companies through that, and that's, it's an incredible way to drastically change your paradigm of what you can do. If you can do those kind of things.
Yeah. There's one other little concept that I use often. It's future money. So future money is a lot easier to spend. This 24/7 that you talked about, well, we have to have a very qualified person to do that overnight shift. Where are we going to find them? We can't afford to pay them. I would hope that most of the folks that are on the call are having someone run a model on the potential outcome and impact to their legacy business with this new expansion or this new, in your example, shift. Once you can understand that profitability and you're working with folks who are very comfortable in their capability, what I have found over and over and over, aligning yourself with folks that think like that and giving them an opportunity to participate in the performance and the outcome, one is empowering to them. Second, they're married to the outcome themselves. You don't have to do a lot of management, which of course, in this situation, we have a whole nother shift we have to manage. I need that guy to be really on point. I'm looking for the absolute best guy to do that and to take that on. I'm going to split future money with him personally. And it removes a lot of those obstacles that folks have that are holding them back from really growing.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, when you get to that point too, where you're doing something like that, you're usually playing with, and accountants don't like to hear this, but you're playing with margin sales, right? That you're above your break even. And
yes, sir.
So if I've got a 40% margin, I'm really making 40% on every dollar above my break even, even though the accountants like to look at it differently. If I keep growing the business and on margin money, yes, you can't survive on margin money. You can't do the right things if it is. But when you want to look at raw dollars you want to make on an annual basis, you can make a lot more money if you understand that concept and go, now our market is segmented and we can sell into that with our margin pricing and completely dominate that.
And just dominate it. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being a piece of the overall strategic plan for a period of time, including leveraging collaboration for growth strategies, makes 1000% sense to me.
Yeah.
Most of the things, and everyone on the call, most of the things you're doing today, the probability of 100% of them being done this year, this date 1 year from today is very low probability. So let's make plans that move the needle today with a consideration for the long term, and just work it into the overall strategy. Folks don't do that, man. It's just convention. And I'm definitely not a Me Too guy.
Awesome. So you just said something that I'd like to dive into a little bit further. How do you help the clients do that? I mean, how do you help them get moving today on the things that can make, because a lot of people are going to, you know, analyze this to death.
Oh, yes.
Stay towards convention. You know, you name it. There's going to be a lot of reasons why we're going as we have. So what are some real things they can think about to help move out of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Being able to grow through collaboration being definitely a fundamental of that I don't see taken advantage of so often in many businesses. They want to grow. They'll go away and make big plans for the next year, leverage the sales team, do it the conventional route. We're going to put more reps in the field. We're going to have more marketing qualified leads. And all of that does make a lot of sense. And it's great. One strategy that I've seen be extremely effective, if you just take a look at, and I've referenced it earlier here, your hero target, the one that you want to be a hero to, your business, that particular hero target is doing something before they ever engage with your business. And if you inspect them, there's a commonality into your desired hero target. They're engaged before they engage with you with a people, a place, or a thing. You might consider engaging those. And I have found the most abstract, not the one that comes immediately to your mind. There's many businesses where a CPA would be great beforehand. That's awesome. And guess what? Everyone else can think that too. But I encourage you to think about what your hero target is doing before they take the action to engage with you. And you've got a swath of clients, query them. I'm sure they'll be happy to have a conversation with you. But dig, if you can, deeper for the abstract things that they're engaged with beforehand. And then leverage collaboration with that person, place, or thing before so that you have now effectively doubled your sales team or even more. Because some of these collaboration partners that come before you do with your hero target are sizable in nature. And they're also looking for unique ways to grow. So growth through collaboration being a huge one. I would encourage you as well, as we all have great conversations on a daily basis. That's awesome. But I encourage you to name it. And I'll give this example. If you had a baby and I had a baby, and luckily, thank God I have, we don't call it the baby. We give it a name. But I find oftentimes in people's businesses, they don't do that. So they'll come up with a unique strategy to add value to whoever it is their hero target is, but they don't name it. They'll call it a series of deliverables or tactics that they're doing in their business, but they don't give it an identity. So when you think about collaborating outside of your organization and leveraging that as an exponential growth strategy, I would strongly encourage you to name it. Because I've really done a lot of work here in understanding there's multiple stages of collaboration. Mm-hmm. But the very first stage is identify what comes before you, and as an example that I gave, and also what comes beyond you. When it is what you do, the best that you've ever done it for your hero target, they inevitably have to take a next action. And you've been doing it so long, you kind of know what that is. That is yet another collaboration opportunity that comes beyond your conventional business that if you would consider engaging, identify those and engaging them. And luckily, there's no cap on them. You can have as many of these as you would like. But name that collaboration between the two. That's in stage one, because now both of you have something that you can hold on to. And if you've done a great job, this new value that you can create for your hero target, combining what came before you and potentially what came after you. Second stage, you can add it to your website. Now it's an actual service, which is a combination of value created with what exactly you know is along the growth journey of your hero target. So give that thing a name. Take it to your website. They can also take it to their website. You're not doing anything different. You're doing what it is that you started doing in the very beginning. You're just doing it in concert now, adding more value to your hero target's journey and making it easier for them to do business with you. So that would be a key and a critical item that I see most are not taking advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah, because as you said, you're really trying to enhance the hero's journey by helping them prior, helping them during, helping them after, and working together with the best people doing it. And that collaboration is pretty powerful.
And who better to make that filter? You do it every day. You know who does a good job and what comes before you, because sometimes it gets to you and it's a hot mess. We've all experienced that. By the same token, after the fact, you've done an excellent job. And sometimes you touch base back with that client again, and they talk about the horrible experience they had when they took that next action. They really wish you would be in that business. There's an alternate way that you might want to consider that you could get started tomorrow. not going and investing a bunch of money, not going and hiring additional talent. These are things that you already know inherently yourself, and you're likely already bumping elbows with some of those service providers that are sort of in your space. But we don't look at it that way. And the art of collaboration seems that it's passed most of us by. It's been me, me, me. Don't want to share my secrets. I just want to get big and take over the market. No. I don't think it really works that way. He put us all on the face of earth for a reason. And the more success that I experience, I can track backwards to the openness of being in collaboration with others to deliver more value than the next guy.
Yeah, that is so true. And it, you just hit something that just drives right to the core of me, because I'll have people that'll say, why do you just share so much? Why do you just help people doing, you know, and it, I mean, you should be charging people for that kind of thing. Mm. And I'm like, well, at the end of the day, that's never done anything but expanded my opportunities.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I feel like that's why we're put here. The rest takes care of itself if you just focus on others. And that'd be hard to refute. The ones that are me, 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 they struggle a lot. I don't want to live that way. I'd much rather help the next guy as much as I possibly can. I'm going to learn something in doing it. It's my job to find the value out of the interaction when I help someone else, not theirs. Sure, there's an exchange of money in some examples of service provided by one of the business zone. I understand that. But I grew pretty quickly in all industries with this methodology.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that collaboration too, really, when you're collaborating, and this is in any process, right? If you are a cog in or a portion of a process, and you better understand what happens before you and what better happens after you, you can create much more efficiency throughout the entire journey. Because you are then aware of, okay, I'm working with someone before me. What's the best way for them to hand off whatever it is, process, people, whatever you're doing to me? And then if I'm working with the people after, what is the best way that I can prepare what I'm doing to make it more efficient for the person behind us or the service or whatever it is? And when we look at those, that is often some of the biggest challenges that people have to get things done.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you'll hear about them complaining. Those are frictions that could be harnessed and embraced and potentially even create a new industry, which I've done a couple times. Mm-hmm. At a minimum, being in collaboration with those folks, you're tripling your sales force. And we've all heard it. You're engaged with somebody and the person is a lot of times a service technician. It's so authentic, the referral that they're giving, that you absolutely want to go do business with this person. Like they're pre-sold and you haven't picked up the phone yet. And it's a lion's share because they're teeing it up and helping hand it off the correct way, making sure there's not a ball drop. And you're just looking at the entire situation, specifically focus on that hero target. You immediately start creating competitive advantage. You're talking about low hanging fruit to change your business from somebody else's. It is not that difficult.
Yeah. And seriously, industry disrupting.
Yes, sir. Yeah. When I talked about naming it earlier, fast forward, it's been 5 years, it's been 7 years, and you've done a really good job, and you're in collaboration with the front and the back, what comes before and after you. And we're starting to recognize the market's starting to ask for whatever this named service is that combines all three of you. You have begun to now separate yourself completely, and there's not a lot of compression on your margin. Nobody else can offer it, right? And you're beginning to change an industry. It happens. We could look backwards at certain examples that's happened before and before where the consumer, or in my example, the hero target has begun to ask for. He doesn't want to buy those individual parts and sort of put them together himself. Mm-mm. There's somebody out there now who delivers the whole thing as a package. That's the guy that they want to deal with. Make it easy for people to do business with you.
Yeah, make it easy. So give a couple examples of that if you could. Just so people listening can understand where they've done that, changed it. Now consumers or the customer, the hero is asking for those kind of things.
Oh yeah. Where you're buying one thing today, where you used to have to buy three or four things before. Yeah there's in countless industries. Let's see, one that really comes to mind in automobile. This is an easy one, right? And you've seen dealers do this. It hasn't in the last 10 years, they get you in the finance office, they're going to go ahead and sell you 3 or 4 years worth of service. What mm-hmm. about the guy who delivers service just himself? And I still do deal with some from time to time that are individuals, but I will tell you, for my wife, who I expect is a hero target for quite a few folks, potentially even on the call, she has access to some resources and she likes the finer things in life. For her mm-hmm. to be in a higher end automobile dealership, and for her to be able to make one transaction and the delivery of value is for the lifetime of that. Lexus did this a great way. Whenever they gave you a service advisor, and every time you came, you got a loaner vehicle. Right now, most of the things that we own, they bring one to us. Mm-hmm. If that thing goes out of warranty way, way before, she has no idea about maintenance or the cost of anything. But you let that thing start to go close to the time that they're not going to bring her a vehicle and it all be included, it's time for me to trade. And so subliminally, those guys have figured it out. One, who is the decision maker, right? Know your hero target. But second, being able to combine multiple things that are along that hero target's journey to make it easier for them to do business with you. And they're greatly increase their revenue. And guess what? A lot of them are getting paid on the front. Because depending on the type of engagement of that hero target, a lot of times they're financing that stuff. So not only mm-hmm. do you get one sale, you get a whole lot more revenue. But you get one sale, a whole lot more revenue, and you get to factor on the money. I guess it's a game changer. So that's just an easy one to spot.
Yeah, and that is a great example with that. You know, even just to the point, like you said, bringing the car out for when maintenance has to happen or that, but even just having all the maintenance included in the purchase of the car.
Just do it all at one time. You're going to have your X period. Just make it easy for people to do business with you. And that came before, right? If you didn't do that, everybody has Charlie's right down the street. And when it breaks, he fixes it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little different requirement today in that hero target. And to the degree, if you have some of the dealerships that are not offering it, which I dare say most of them do now, they understand the financial impact. Mm-hmm. If they didn't, it's a competitive advantage, right?
Yeah.
My wife, it's Lexus or above for a long time. Why? Because they have a vehicle for it. And it just makes their life easy.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. So why do you think people stay inside their comfort zone and don't think about these kind of things? I mean, because what you talked about is a low-cost strategy. It's a way that you can really, you can leverage so much faster. I mean, they just are so tuned into their own business. Is that what it is? Or what is it?
They're tuned into their own business. And you know, maybe they're in a country club. Maybe they like to play golf. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. They're surrounded by the five closest people they're surrounded ends up being who you become, right? So you got to be, I challenge you to be very careful with that. The concept and the name of the book, Just Add a Zero. Tomorrow, humor me, just add a zero. Unless your profit or your revenue, and say, this is no way this can happen unless. So I think so much of it's mindset. We become beholden to our five closest friends and sort of what they're experiencing. There's a big old world out there. There's a lot more folks that think similar to the way that I do. I would implore you and encourage you to just apply some of these strategies that you learned today. And if you want to have follow-up conversation and really unpack something, I am always naturally curious about the practical application of the theory, because I constantly try to break it. In my attempt to do so, I typically uncover ways to actually make it make even more of an impact. So it's a it's a thirst for knowledge and an unwavering thirst for curiosity that helps drive me.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. So what really was the origin story behind writing the book?
I've had a pretty diverse path.
Yeah.
Whenever, if you sit there and just unpack all the different industries and the businesses and started and how one led to the other and led to the other, led to 10 others. So it, at face value, it says, oh, that's a lot. It is, but it isn't. There's, when I really slowed down enough to take a look backwards, I found a lot of commonality in the methodologies that I apply to many different industries, and many of them I've shared today. So the book itself, the catalyst was to empower others who feel like they're tired, they're getting the same old results, or feel like they're running on a hamster wheel. And I've never really felt that way. Typically, if I don't like the rules, I just change the game. Some of the methodologies I've shared with you today empower you to be able to do so, because it's not as hard as it may feel looking at your particular business or your particular industry. And we're hearing a lot of the same. And before too long, it becomes the reality. I'd encourage you to listen to others, because there's a lot of folks out there that they will not take the Me Too route or the conventional answer as gospel. There's always a way better way, not just a better way.
Mm-hmm. Better way, not just a better way.
Yes, sir. Yeah, way better way.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. So as you continue to help company, I mean, you've helped numerous companies with this, numerous companies, your own, mm-hmm. other companies doing this. And one of the things I think is interesting, I mean, you still have companies, other companies than that you're operating your own and those kind of things. And are you applying this into your companies?
Oh yeah, definitely. Today I have between 15 and 18 different operating companies that are wholly 100% ownership. I have a couple that are in partnership, an investment firm with growth funds up under it. That is in partnership. Nice. But by and large, yes, sir. I apply these strategies to all types of operating companies, ones that I own and many, many that I do not. I do the ones that I do not own in collaboration. So I mentioned earlier, if you have a lot of confidence in what you can create, those folks typically don't trade time for money. I'm mm-hmm. one of those. So I've created a collaboration model for engagement that partners on all future upside. So in essence, I don't cost anything, and we share in the upside together. So that I enjoy finding these strategies and sharing these strategies. For a long time, I only did it for those who I was serving, but it wasn't official. I would share wisdom that I could see or vision that I could see of combining resources that were at their fingertips. Why? Because I was serving them and I could just completely inspect them like on an operating table. Until the last few years, I set a methodology that's nothing new without a who, which means mm-hmm. I can't start another company without somebody to run the day-to-day. So that was definitely throttling to me for just the way I'm wired up to find and create value. So since that's a limiting factor, I also began to recognize that there's a ton of organizations out there that I could collaborate with for growth and help them along their growth journey and just participate in the upside. So effectively, mm-hmm. I didn't cost anything. So my nothing new without a who and my methodology of growth through collaboration began to formalize together as a complete business model to help others grow. And that's where I spend my time these days.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I saw that you posted that earlier today about nothing new without a who, and you referenced Dan Sullivan. Oh, yes. He talks about in his book, and that is tremendously powerful. And mm-hmm. I'm starting to do that in my own life, because you really do need to do that to leverage, like you said, the collaboration, the just the benefits from it, and really to help others succeed as well.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, along the way. What? So nothing new without a who.
Yes.
How long have you really embraced that?
Nothing new without a who is definitely since the end of first quarter last year. Okay. I had three new startup organizations that I had begun to formalize. And I was getting a little pushback. I've got wonderful leadership teams in each and every one of these opcos. And I have a leadership team that's over all the opcos. Mm-hmm. And I have an innovation manager. And the innovation manager began to push back on me. He said, yeah, we can certainly keep doing this, and I can see the value that's created, and it's really going to impact those markets very positively. But you might consider, we can't find enough who's for the amount of value creation opportunities that you create that you come up with. So it really started about the end of first quarter, and the culmination of really pushing that together with growth through collaboration to formalize it as a business model began at the end of second quarter, beginning of third quarter. Now it's nice. Well underway. I've got organizations all over the world that I'm engaged with helping grow. And it's just very rewarding and a lot of fun. And these guys they're actually experiencing it. So it's not just, hey, take this for a ride and think unconventionally. When you begin to think this way and apply these, again, you don't have to go make it a sizable investment to be able to move the needle. You can start tomorrow. It's very rewarding when the first 30, 60, 90 days, they begin to see that impact and see it come back to them. It's as rewarding as any company I've ever started and seen it cross the one and the 10 and the $20 million mark, which I promise you is very rewarding. But this is equal to, if not more.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. That's awesome to hear that it's working out well for you doing that. So what are you looking towards the future? Just really excited about this nothing new without a who, or what's happening for you in the 2024 and beyond?
So as you can tell, these methodologies, I can't stop because I just continuously look at ways to create a much bigger outcome with less effort. So that in itself, I'll just continue doing the growth through collaboration. I have a goal of 100 growth collaboration partners by the end of 2024. And we're well on our way to doing it. So I'm going to see exactly where that takes me. Long-term planning. Sure. But I have goals and I have directions because I never really look at anything as a finish line. It's just an evolution. So right now we're going to target 100 by the end of the year. Along that way, I already know, because I'm starting to study it, what are the commonalities in the application of these methodologies that I can potentially even package up as a complete methodology, potentially even a franchise. So I'm excited to see exactly where 2024 takes us. And then, of course, beyond. And I'll pick up the beyond as we march through quarter after quarter.
Awesome. Well, that's great. That's really cool. That's really cool, Chad. Wow. Thanks so much for taking the time and being here today and explaining about what you're doing with SeedSpark and your collaboration and nothing new without a who, and man, just the valuable nuggets you were dropping today about this, you know, talking about your hero, collaborating with people before and after, and then just looking at things differently to really unlock new opportunities in your business. Thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoyed the time. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for those of you that are listening today, and Ayesha for dropping a comment today. And thanks all of you that will be listening on future replays of this on YouTube and the podcast channels with us. We will be back again later with another awesome guest. Chad, just hang out for a moment and we'll wrap up.
Thanks, Damon.
Thank you.